Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing upon the people in Texas and upon this congregation this morning. Anoint your words with the oil of the Holy Spirit. May these words build up, encourage, and admonish those who hear. May we be open to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want to express my appreciation for our secretary. Bonnie picked out the picture that's on the front of the bulletin this morning, and I was really impressed and pleased and grateful for the picture that she chose. Because we're going to talk about the 23rd Psalm today. This psalm is a shepherd's psalm. I want you to, I know that you're familiar with it. Probably most of you have memorized it when you were kids, heard it all your lives in either the King James or the NIV. But I want you to hear it in a new voice. This is from the Message. God, you are my shepherd. I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush green pastures, green meadows. You find me quiet pools of water to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my weary, drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love pursue me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. God has a right to be our shepherd because he created us. And Jesus has the right to be our shepherd because he paid the price of ownership. He died for us. Now, it's no accident that God calls us sheep. Sheep have a mass mind, a mob instinct, if you will. And so do human beings. We have fears, and we have timidity. We're afraid of just about anything and everything, especially loud noises. We're stubborn, and sometimes we're stupid. And we have perverse habits. But the Holy Spirit is ever interceding for us. He is ever graciously guiding us. He is ever working on our behalf to ensure that we will benefit from his care. Sheep owners mark their sheep with a special mark so they can tell who's theirs. And the mark of the cross is that which should identify us with him for all time. Now, here are some questions for us to ask ourselves. Do I really belong to him? The scripture says for us to examine ourselves. Examine our faith to be sure that we are in right standing with God. Do I really recognize his right to own me? Or do I want to go my own way. Sheep do that. If one of the sheep finds a hole in the fence, you can bet your sweet bippy that all the rest of the flock will be right through that hole in the fence just as quickly as they can. And the shepherd will have to go and round them up and then fix the hole to make sure that they stay in the pasture. Do I respond to his authority and acknowledge his ownership? Do I find freedom and complete fulfillment in this arrangement? Do I sense a purpose and a deep contentment because I'm under his direction? Or am I always chafing and fussing and wishing for something different? Do I know rest and repose besides a definite sense of exciting adventure in belonging to him? To want, first verse says, I shall not want. To be in want is to lack in proper care, management, or husbandry. But with God as our shepherd, we don't have to worry about being properly cared for. We are protected. He goes before us, and he acts as our rear guard. But it also means being utterly contented in the care of the good shepherd, and desiring nothing more. Based on the teachings of Scripture, we can only conclude that David, the author of this psalm, was not referring to material or physical poverty when he said, I shall not want. He was referring to the spiritual realm. Contentment should be the hallmark of any person who has put his or her affairs in the hands of the Lord Jesus. The presence of the owner or master and protector of the sheep puts them at ease as nothing else can. And in the Christian life, there's no substitute for being aware that our shepherd is nearby. There's nothing like Christ's presence to dispel the fear and panic and terror of the unknown. And boy, I know what it is to be afraid of the unknown. It's the Spirit's presence, and it's his work to convey this sense of security to our fearful hearts because Christ is present with us. We can rest and relax in this assurance, no matter what the circumstances may be that we are facing. When our eyes are on the Master, they are not on those around us or the things around us. And we can walk quietly and contentedly in close and intimate companionship with Jesus that allows us to rest and relax. And sheep to get nourishment from what they eat. Sheep are kind of like cows in that they graze and then they have to lie down and chew their cud and be contented in order to digest the nourishment they have gotten as they've grazed. Green pastures is a metaphor for what makes life flourish. Thirsty souls can only be satisfied when their capacity and thirst for spiritual life is fully quenched by drawing on the Lord Jesus. The human soul has a capacity and a need for the water of the Spirit of the eternal God. The thirsty souls of men and women can only be satisfied by the Lord Jesus, keeping them from being distracted by the unsatisfying waters of this life. God invites us to allow ourselves to be led and guided by His own gracious Spirit. The Spirit will always lead us into the way of Jesus. In verse 3, it says, He restores my soul. Now, a sheep sometimes gets itself into a cast down situation. When a sheep is cast down and has laid down in such a way or in a hollow so that it ends up on its back with all four feet in the air and cannot right itself, it has to have help to get back on its feet. Now, when a child of God falls, when he or she is frustrated and helpless in a spiritual dilemma, God becomes our assistant, our help. We get disgusted and we get fed up and we get furious with ourselves. But God is not like that. Contrary to what a lot of people believe, they believe that God is just looking for some way to criticize us and condemn us, to judge us. Jesus is not walking around with a gavel to judge us as we walk with Him. He understands that we're going to make mistakes because we're human. We have the sin nature. We can be distracted by all kinds of attractive, so-called values in the world around us. Jesus comes quietly, gently, reassuringly, and compassionately to us, no matter when, where, or how I may be cast down. Just like the shepherd comes along and helps the poor cast down sheep with all four feet in the air to get upright again and to be able to go on and pasture and walk around and not need the shepherd's help anymore for the moment. Too much of the old life, which must be pruned away when we are not sure of ourselves, is when we are most prone to fall flat. Material success is no measure of spiritual health. Contrary to some of the false teaching you hear today, God does bless us, but God also chooses to discipline those that He loves best. But He will never expect us nor ask us to face more than we can with His help and under His control. What He does expose us to will strengthen and fortify our faith and our confidence in His control. Since He is the good shepherd, you can be assured that He knows what He's doing and that He is sufficient to continually refresh and restore my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The safest place to be is in the center of His will. But sheep are notorious creatures of habit. And so are we. Most of us are stiff-necked and stubborn. We insist that we know what's best for us, even though the potentially disastrous results may be self-evident. Turning to my own way simply means doing what I want, and not necessarily what Jesus wants. Most of us don't want to be led in paths of righteousness. We really do, but we want to be in control. And God has to be in control, or we have to be in control. We both can't be in control. We are safest when we are in the hands of God and under His direction. The Christian needs to acquire 7 fresh attitudes. Instead of loving myself and putting myself first, I must be willing to love Jesus first and best, and others more than myself. Number 2, instead of being one of the crowd, I'm willing to be singled out and set apart from the crowd. Instead of insisting on my rights, I'm willing to let them go in favor of others. Instead of being the boss, I've been known to be bossy. I've been described as bossy. Those of you who've known me most of my life are aware that I can be bossy. But instead of being boss, am I willing to be at the bottom of the heap? And lastly, instead of finding fault with life and always asking, why me? I'm willing to accept every circumstance of life in an attitude of gratitude. The scripture tells us, give thanks in everything. And in another place, it says, give thanks for everything. That can be tough to do sometimes. If you're in the middle of a chronic illness, it's pretty hard to say, God, I thank you for this illness. But you know, you can find something to thank God for in the midst of illness. It reveals how much we are dependent on God for care and for encouragement, and how thankful we can be for medical science, and how thankful we can be for caregivers who see that we are properly cared for. And lastly, instead of choosing my own way, I'm willing to choose to follow in Christ's way and simply to do what He asks me to do. But in order to know what Christ would have you do, you have to know Him well enough to recognize His voice. And that means spending time with Him. Now, in first century shepherding, shepherds led their sheep. They didn't drive them. And they grew their sheep primarily for fleece rather than for meat. And so they would have the same sheep for year after year after year. And they would get to know their individual characteristics. And they would give them names. Now, not names like John or Mary or Betsy or whatever, but names like White Ear, Black Nose, Brown Leg, descriptive names that would help them to recognize the sheep. And over time, the sheep get to know the shepherd's voice well enough that when he comes to the fold in the morning to lead them out, he calls to them or gives a specific sound that they have become used to, whistling or, you know, a little song he sings or just funny noises. And the sheep follow him. One after another, they come out. Our choice to give up choosing our own way is basically simple, straightforward obedience. It means I just do what he tells me to do when he tells me to do it. What he wants is our welfare and for the benefit of others, as well as for his own reputation, his own dear reputation. I was appalled to learn that one of the largest churches in the country in Texas refused to open their building for the refugees. I was horrified. That was not what Christ would have us do. On the other hand, I was delighted to see that in the midst of this crisis, race and politics didn't mean a thing. Black people helped white people. Latinos helped black and white. Everyone was concerned about everyone else's welfare. People opened their homes. The owner of a furniture store, several furniture stores, opened his stores for the refugees. It was amazing. This is how God wants all of us to move on with him. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to do his will. That's what it's all about. He makes this possible by his own gracious spirit, who is given to those who obey. It is he, the Spirit, who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now we come to the turning point in the psalm. Up to now, it's been all about God. It's been in first person. Forget that. It's been, he does this, and he does that, and he does something else. Now it's going to shift. Now we come to a description of what I'm going to do. Twice a year, sheep were moved. In the late spring, they're moved to the high pastures, and in the fall, they're moved back to the home ranch or the home village for the winter. They are alone with the shepherd for several months, during which they get to know him intimately. And they trust him. No matter what dangers may come about, they trust him to be there for them, to take care of them. During this time, the shepherd is responsible for their safety and for their well-being. The ways of God lead upward through the valleys of life. Jesus promises to always be with us. Always be with us. We can fear no evil because Jesus is with us. It is a most reassuring and reinforcing assurance to the child of God to discover that there is a source of strength and courage to be found in the Savior, even in the darkest valley of suffering. Some of us have lost loved ones, and even in that deep valley, with Jesus, we can face it calmly. Now the rod of the shepherd, we move on to your rod and your staff. They comfort me. The rod was a weapon of defense. It was a piece of wood about this long with a knob on the end. And sometimes there were nails pounded into the knob in order to increase its effectiveness as a defensive weapon. And the crook is the one we typically think of shepherds having, a long stick with a crook on the end. And God uses that, well, the shepherd uses that to guide the sheep, to pull one back into line if it's going astray, to grasp the lambs and reunite them with their mothers, and so forth. The rod was also used to examine and count the sheep in the evenings when they were brought into the fold. This was a time when the shepherd very carefully examined each sheep. Sheep are very prone to flies. And flies crawl up their noses and feed on the flesh and the nasal passages, drive sheep crazy. They will run wild trying to get away from them. And so the shepherd carries with him a mixture of oil and soot and whatever else they used for such purposes, and they put it on their noses, and it kept the flies from crawling up the nasal passages. The shepherd would also in the evening examine them for small wounds that he would then put olive oil on to heal. The shepherd always has the best interest of the sheep at heart. When they come to a piece of pasture, the shepherd goes and walks the pasture, walks the grass to make sure there are no poisonous weeds, no big rocks that would cause them to stumble, clears them all out of the way so that the table, as it were, the pasture, is ready for the sheep to graze. Sheep also will not drink from running water. So the shepherd has to look for a way to either dam up a little corner of the water source, or for a quiet pool that has been formed by the stream itself, and lead the sheep to drink. Otherwise, they will not drink running water, and they will go without the water that they need to be healthy. Part of the mystery and wonder of Jesus being our shepherd is Calvary. Calvary represents God's love for us to the nth degree. You know, in crossword puzzles, the clue for nth is the highest degree, which is the nth degree. And so part of the mystery is God's love that's bound up in the desire of his heart to have us live on a higher plane, above the mundane level of common humanity. To live thus is to live richly. To walk thus is to walk with quiet assurance. To feed in this pasture is to be filled with good things. And sometimes a sheep is just tired. And so the shepherd will pat it on the head, maybe put a little oil on it to soothe its fatigue, and then allow it to go on. Sometimes it's profitable for us to ask these simple questions. Do I leave behind peace or turmoil in the lives of the people with whom I come in contact? Do I leave behind forgiveness or bitterness? Do I leave behind contentment or conflict? Do I leave behind flowers of joy or frustration? Do I leave behind love or rancor? Do I see sinners with the compassion of Christ or with the critical eye of censure? Am I willing to overlook faults and weaknesses in others and extend forgiveness as God has forgiven my failings? Remember that in verse 6, David says, "Surely goodness and mercy," according to the King James, "beauty and love pursue me every day of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will be one of his sheep, allowing him to shepherd me, to lead me, to direct me, to give me confidence and assurance as he goes before me and acts as my rear guard." Put all your energy into trusting Jesus. It is through trust that you stay connected to him and aware of his presence. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this psalm that means so much to us, that has come down through the centuries to comfort those who believe, who follow you, who trust you. And we are among that number. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to come to Jesus and live. In his name, amen.